An incoming call lights up a computer screen at the U.S. Forest Service Dispatch Center in Flagstaff. Maggie Roberts hits a button to reply to field crews.
I copy. Yourself and Latimer are en route to Happy Jack, 1159.
Behind her are giant maps of the Coconino National Forest. One shows fire lookout towers. Another has magnets for every fire engine and crew member.
As they move and change locations, we change the magnet, and then that way we know where people are.
It's kind of an old school way of doing things.
Jeff Walter is the dispatch center manager. He wants the Coconino to modernize its firefighting technology. Some national forests have recently adopted high-tech fire spotting cameras.
I mean, they make cameras nowadays that have, you can get range finders on them, you can get heat, infrared detection. I mean, they're pretty amazing.
Walter points to a pilot program at the Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. The Forest Service there has deployed 6 cameras to spot and monitor wildfires. Michael Johnston heads up the project.
So instead of having to fly a helicopter out into the wilderness area to monitor a fire or put 2 individuals out in grizzly bear country to monitor that fire, we can do it with a camera.
Johnston says it's about reducing risk. Cameras let firefighters check out the scene before going in themselves, and they're cheaper than keeping lookouts on the payroll.
Those systems actually automatically detect the smoke through the software on the camera, and one dispatcher could be monitoring 10 or 20 cameras.
That's what's happening in Southern Oregon, where a network of nearly 40 cameras has replaced human fire lookouts. Some of those cameras use infrared to detect fires people can't see. There are a lot of benefits, Johnston says, but
it's a big change to the Forest Service. I think the lookouts are kind of a national symbol for the Forest Service.
Everybody got seatbelts?
All right.
Andrew Hosted is a fire prevention officer for the Coconino. He pulls off the dirt road he's patrolling to look at his iPad. It's got electronic versions of the maps in the dispatch center.
Yeah, you can show me patrolling in the Lake Mary corridor.
He can pinpoint the locations of fires and find the quickest route there.
So you can see the smoke rising right there from the Cowboy.
The Cowboy fire is burning south of Flagstaff. A nearby lookout called in the smoke. Hosted admits a camera could spot smoke just as well, but he doesn't think technology can replace actual human lookouts.
They're a lot more than just our eyes and ears for detecting wildfires. They let us know where people are camping at and potential things to watch out for.
Hosted says lookouts pass on vital information about a big storm rolling in, for example, or a group of campers near a lightning strike. They also act as relays for fire crews on the ground, especially in rough terrain where radio communication is difficult.
That's one thing where you can't talk to a camera.
And Hosted points to the symbolic value of lookouts. When hikers make it to mountaintops with historic lookout towers, he says, they want to find a person there. My colleague Aaron Granillo found longtime lookout Ed Piper at the top of Turkey Butte near Sedona.
Hello.
Come on up. Watch your head.
Inside Piper's 14 by 14 foot lookout tower, he's got a collection of crucial fire spotting tools.
This is a spotting scope over here. It's a loophole spotting scope. I've got the radios are over there.
His most important piece of equipment is a giant compass in the middle of the room. It's been there since the tower was built in 1937, and Piper uses it every time he sees smoke.
Sight it like a rifle. You see a smoke out there, and you peek through here and line it up with that crosshair. Then you look down here, and it'll give you the number of degrees.
Piper's been spotting fires on the Coconino National Forest for over a decade, but he does a lot more than just call them in. He works in tandem with forest managers to protect hikers and wildland firefighters. During the slide fire 2 years ago, Piper warned crews about smaller fires that jumped the main line.
Those people need to know that they have a spot fire out there because you don't want to put those firefighters in danger of being overrun by fire. Those are the situations that you lose lives.
Local fire managers say they couldn't do their jobs without lookouts like Ed Piper. They're generally the first line of defense in fighting wildfire.
That trained human eye is just invaluable, I believe.
Matt Engbring is a fire prevention lead on the Coconino. He says a lot of people call in smoke, but not with the speed and precision of an experienced lookout.
Really good ones can actually distinguish the difference between a campfire and an actual wildfire. By the timing of when the smoke's coming up, the volume of smoke, the color of the smoke, they have that intimate knowledge of what's going on.
Lookouts have been keeping watch over U.S. forests since the early 1900s. Some of the towers were even used during World War II so the Army could scout for enemy planes. That's also when the door opened for women to become lookouts, since many men were overseas fighting. It was a job some people thought women were incapable of because they couldn't handle the solitude. Jean Rakila laughs at that notion. She spent more than 20 seasons as a fire lookout in Arizona.
I have people all the time that used to say, how can you stand it? And I would say, how can you stand being in the city, making left-hand turns and 5 o'clock traffic and looking at billboards?
Rakila started the job in the late 70s, and she says gender has always been irrelevant. It's really about stewardship of the land.
It's one of the most open-handed workplaces I've had the pleasure to be in all kinds of ways, not just male or female, but straight, gay, old, young. Is it, can you do the job? Or are you going to give up in the middle of things or not? That's really more about it.
Even so, the number of fire lookouts has dropped drastically in recent years. There used to be about 8,000 towers in the U.S. Today, there are fewer than 2,000, less than half of which are staffed. Budget cuts and technological advances are encroaching on one of the most iconic jobs in the West.